Joy, real spiritual joy, is one of the most needed qualities today. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It is that quality of thought which comes from the understanding of the omnipotence of right thought. The comfort, the security, the supreme and sublime satisfaction and contentment which comes to us as the result of our understanding the effects of right thinking, brings the only true joy there is. There is much more satisfaction and joy in being able to so see our brother man in the light of divine science that we can take his insult and offense smilingly and lovingly than there is in getting even with him for his offense. The moment we are consumed with the desire to get even with anyone, just then are we taking into thought or consciousness that much of the carnal which is bound to come back to us one way or another in unpleasant or injurious experiences. With the clear understanding that what we hold in thought we bring into experience, we are very likely to watch our thinking so that we order and regulate our lives so as to bring out a fuller and more complete sense of joy. We cannot expect to bring out a sense of freedom from sickness, ill health, disease, and bodily suffering while our consciousness is filled with thoughts of sickness, health loss, fear of bodily harm, thoughts of hate, anger, malice, revenge, etc. We cannot bring out harmony in the home and at the same time hold in thought any sense of materiality, differences of opinion, anger, resentment, self-will, self-righteousness, dictation, etc. We must not only be governed by the divine in our own thinking, but we must watch lest we deny others in the home the right to work out their own salvation alone with God. We must not lead. We must be led. And we must recognize the right of others to be led. Human will, domination, or personal dependence will never work out one's problems scientifically. If we are striving to let the divine rule in our individual consciousness, we are not going to go very far wrong in our home and our business associations. The world in which you and I live, the world which we see, feel, taste, smell, and hear, is but a great picture painted by us individually. And that picture merely represents our individual thoughts. The picture is ugly or beautiful, depending on the amount of the carnal or divine painted into it. And remember that we cannot separate the individual thoughts which go to make this picture, so that some of the picture may be beautiful and some ugly. One wrong thought or motive will affect the entire picture. We cannot expect to employ wrong thoughts in our business relations and not have them affect our home relations, and vice versa. One wrong motive affects the whole mental canvas. I have seen a man's failing business put on its feet and made successful as a result of a healing in his home relationship. I have seen a man's home restored to harmony as a result of a change in his method of thinking in regard to his business. Our thinking constitutes both our home and our business, and we cannot entertain wrong thoughts and motives in connection with one and not have it affect the other. It is like a drop of ink in a tumbler of water. The ink will change the aspect of the whole tumbler of water. and we may be assured and comforted by the conviction that one good thought admitted into consciousness will have its good effect in everything that we do or undertake. Good thoughts are ideas, and as our world is made up of thought, the more ideas we admit into consciousness, the more harmonious will be our entire picture. You and I have to think. In fact, all there is to existence is thinking or thought. And the more of the divine we allow to come into consciousness, the more of the divine will appear in the picture which our thoughts create. We cannot entertain divine ideas and thought without bringing into our experience the omnipotence of God. And we do not have to outline or worry about or direct as to how these ideas are to work in demonstrations. Demonstration is simply the activity of divine ideas in human consciousness. And the activity of divine ideas in human consciousness is bound to cancel just so much of the carnal in the picture which our thoughts have painted. The activity of divine ideas in human consciousness is what brings health, happiness, prosperity, harmony, and the like. Even a grain of truth held in consciousness will work miracles if we are open and free in thought. Remember that all being is consciousness, and that the consciousness you entertain of dominion through reflection, the consciousness you entertain of abundance through reflection, determines the outward in your experience. All of the ideas of mind constitute man. Hence, man has dominion over all of God's creation, and he is conscious of abundance. This consciousness of abundance cancels in our consciousness the argument of lack, and the argument of lack is removed from our consciousness. It is removed from the picture which our thinking creates. So do you not see that we do not have to work for supply, health, etc.? The consciousness which knows no lack is bound to be conscious of abundance. That consciousness which recognizes no sickness is bound to be conscious of health. All of mortal existence comes to your and my consciousness by way of suggestion. The only evidence that you and I have of material existence is through the suggestions of the carnal mind. You and I do not see a material house or tree or automobile. When we think we do, we are simply responding to suggestions which come from the carnal mind, which we admit into consciousness. So we do not have matter or material conditions to handle at all. We simply have to defend ourselves from the suggestions of mortal mind, which mind, as we have seen, is common to all men, but belongs to no man. We pick our mortal thoughts out of mortal mind, which claims to exist as one mind outside our individual consciousness. And to the extent that we admit these carnal thoughts into consciousness, is our world material. We do not see a material world. We see our own thoughts. That is, we see those thoughts which we have admitted to consciousness from the carnal mind. To the extent that we admit these thoughts to consciousness, are we subjecting ourselves to the laws of mortal mind, which laws may operate to our injury and detriment, even though we may not be conscious of the existence of those laws? Stick to your understanding of God. Never waver, never doubt. He will care for you as he does for the lilies. And though at times the clouds may seem dark, if you are faithful in your allegiance to him, you will come forth with colors flying and with hearts rejoicing. That's the end of this address.